You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. I am joined today, an emergency podcast, with friend of the show and maybe the most frequently recurring guest from the Action Network. It's Matt Moore. Matt, what's going on?
Locked On Nuggets featured guest. That's one with a ridiculous title for me. Exclusive guest.
Exclusive
like
guest. NBA insider.
This one and Locked On Lakers are the two I appear on most.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not the Nuggets insider anymore for Altitude. I'm bummed about it. But you can be the NBA insider to Locked On, which is a much more prestigious.
All the way that we use these terms is dumb. Like, we just, all of them. Like, I've been labeled expert, which I hate.
Yeah.
Like, NBA expert. You know who's an NBA expert? LeBron. LeBron's an expert at the NBA. Like, I feel like I can confidently say LeBron's an expert at the NBA. Like, Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle's an NBA expert. Knows a lot about it. Daryl Morey knows a lot. But, like, insider, I think, is always really funny because it presumes basically that the person is somebody that is, like, is on the inside and knows all the moving parts and is able to give you like a peek that nobody that otherwise wouldn't get out. And it's like, even Adrian Wojnarowski reports stuff that he is given.
Right. We need a good title for you. We'll think of one. Maybe I'll take recommendations. Although I don't know if we want to do that to Twitter. Twitter could be a little crazy for recommendations. But this is a great day. Like I said, it's an emergency podcast. It's a great day to have you on because I have no idea what happened today. Did you wake up thinking today would be a unique day in the NBA?
No. So I just dropped this gigantic Paul George profile on Action Network that I was super proud of, and it's just gone. Like, no one cares. Just no one. And like, I was like, oh, it's the week before the deadline, and I was actually rushing to get stuff out because I was like, oh, I got to get this done before deadline week because then I'll get swallowed up by news. No, the Knicks are just going to trade Kristaps Porzingis today, which they've been working on for several days, I found out. Yeah. I found out that's been going on for, quote, a while, according to multiple league sources.
So they didn't have a meeting and walked out and Porzingis demanded a trade? That's not how it went down?
Such a nonsense. Like, you know, it's just ridiculous that how fast this evolved in terms of, like, the Knicks wanting to reposition the narrative. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, come on. Like, people are going to find out you've been talking. You can't get a deal done this fast. You just can't.
Right.
You don't, like, it's not like the Mavericks weren't checking Twitter and were like, oh, hey, Kristaps available. Yes. Hello, Scott.
Right.
Yes, immediately. I know exactly what we're offering. We'll offer this, this, and this. How about that? Done? Good.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes. It is like, funny because there is that perception, right? If I wasn't in the industry, that would be my perception of like, oh, man, the Nuggets should have called. They only had that 15-minute window. What the heck?
Yeah, like, why didn't you wait for better offers to come in? So, like, this has been coming for a while. And there are a lot of angles to this. I think the most prominent one is obviously that the Knicks are all in on Kevin Durant and or Kyrie Irving.
This is the most important narrative. Exactly. Yeah. So this really highlights that there – and this is the truth all along. There's always these big things behind the scenes that don't get talked about or reported on. This is clearly the Knicks' plan. There's no hiding it. The Knicks' plan is clearly to make a big splash this summer.
Yeah, and so like Windhorst on either the Low Post or one of the other podcasts was talking a couple months ago and was like, keep an eye on New York. If they clear cap space, that's an indication that they're moving toward that they feel like they have plans and so the idea is that they have intel that lead them to believe that Durant is coming. Like, that's the outcome. Now, here's my problem with this. Like, I am an old hat at this point. I've been doing this a while. I aggregated the league for 7 years, more than that, actually. About nine. I did aggregation in the league for about 9 years, which means that I followed reports and how they developed. And you learn when you do this over and over and over again how things go. And I'll tell you, in 2010, the New York Knicks leaked. They intend to offer LeBron James a max contract and will have room for another max star. And so at the deadline, everybody was like, but you don't cap space. They traded Tracy McGrady and two first-round picks to the Houston Rockets. Or they traded for Tracy McGrady. They acquired Tracy McGrady's monstrous contract, because it was expiring, and gave up two first-round picks to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets then used those to flip them into other assets and use them into other assets, and long story short, that's partly how they got James Harden. So there's ramifications all over the place for these kind of moves. Now, the Knicks were on the other end where they got multiple picks today, and that kind of makes this deal better, but this is still a very much – I just keep asking the question, okay, you think you're getting Kevin Durant, but what if you're wrong?
I know. And that was my question to you. So the idea, at least the rumor, is Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, right? Like both of them allegedly have this interest. And if not Kyrie, maybe Kemba Walker. So, okay, all right, I kind of understand that. But is there any sort of backup plan? I mean, is there other players that they feel like if that doesn't work out, we can do something else? Or is this the biggest Hail Mary in the history of the NBA, or at least in recent history?
So in 2010... they whiffed, right? They didn't get LeBron. They didn't get Wade. They didn't get Bosch. They didn't get any of them.
They got Amari.
They got Amari Stoudemire. They got Amari Stoudemire. And so you wind up getting – they got the B guy, and then the Bulls got the C guy in Carlos Boozer. And so, like, the B guy this summer, there are some options, right? Like, if Jimmy Butler doesn't work out with the Sixers, which doesn't look like it might, okay, that might be an option. If and then, like, the other one – the one that's kind of interesting, actually, is if they sign Kemba Walker and Tobias Harris – like that's really interesting, right?
It's like, not. It's not though. It's not like us basketball nerds. We love that. That yeah, there's something you can do there. Maybe you're good, but that is not what the Knicks are trying to do. They're not trying to get Tobias Harris.
Right. No, they don't want to get Tobias Harris. They want to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and
I love Tobias Harris. He's really good.
Right. But here's the thing: is like if the worst case scenario is they get Kemba and Tobias and they have Knox. And they have these two first rounders, and they have their own pick. Especially like that's what so much of this, and this is what ties in the Anthony Davis thing. So much of this just depends on where that pick lands.
Yeah,
that pick.
Of course.
And what's crazy is it's just the number one pick. If you get the two, you're screwed.
Yep.
Like you are in. Like I'll say it right now: whoever gets the number two pick is screwed in this draft.
Yeah.
They're gonna draft RJ Barrett, and they're gonna be terrible.
I'm so low on RJ Barrett.
I can't be any lower on him.
I
can't
know,
be any lower.
We're too low.
The drop
low.
Off from one to two is horrific. Like I would just not. I haven't done all my draft prep.
We're too
like,
low
I,
on,
I will,
on him.
I will assuredly have somebody else that is not RJ Barrett number two.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel too. There's certain qualities I'm just like, no, I'm out on. I don't care what everything else you do. And one of those skills is like just not being able to pass to wide open guys on a 4-on-1 break. That's one of my pet peeves. Okay, so the Knicks have this plan that they're going to swing for the fence. Now, do you get the sense, and I know we can never predict this, but do you get the sense that this summer is just going to be an absolutely absurd summer for the NBA? Because it's shaping up that way.
I mean, it almost has to be because that's how it's been every summer, right? Like,
yeah, but especially this year. I mean, all of the biggest players.
Kyrie Irving got traded 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, Kyrie Irving got traded. Like, won a title, spent a year, and then got traded to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that's pretty. Okay? But Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant are two of the top five players in the NBA.
Like, last summer, LeBron James signed with the Lakers.
We knew that was coming.
But that's
yeah.
still huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think about all the stuff. Think about all the stuff that's happening. Like, think about this. Like, Paul George. Okay, trade to OKC. Paul George re-signs the Thunder. That in and of itself is a monster move that no one really talked about. Going to be writing about that, by the way, for ActionNetwork.com.
Nice.
Jimmy Butler gets traded to the Wolves, and then gets traded again.
Yeah.
Gets traded again.
At what point does he become a toxic asset?
Yeah, to the Sixers. Like, there's just all this madness. However, like, yeah, like there are possibilities on the table for there to be an absolute super team. And there's a bunch of opportunities.
Like a new one. Maybe two. I mean, you could say there could be an LA super team and a New York or Boston or Philly super team. I mean, there could be legitimately two completely different teams that might be the two best.
I'm going to get ahead of this and just say it. I will say this. Until Anthony Davis signs a new contract, I will continue to wonder whether or not he's going to wind up on the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, God. The worst, the darkest of timelines.
I'm just telling you.
What would that team look like, by the way? So who is it?
It would be Curry. It was dribbling at shooting guard. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis.
So Curry, KD, and AD.
Yeah.
And no Clay.
And no Clay, and no Draymond.
And no Draymond. That team's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's probably less fun. Like, you know, like it's even more gross. They've kind of gotten more gross as every year has come by. That would be the grossest version yet, but it's pretty good. I mean, you can't take away from that. Okay, what's the implication? So here's another way to look at this, and me and you have talked about this a lot. I'm lower on Kristaps Porzingis than most people, probably 99% of people. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a scrub or anything like that. But I don't know you're winning a championship because you add him to your team. That being said, he is going from the East to the West, which just seems to be a trend that happens every single time one of these deals happens. What do you think this means for Dallas?
I think I'm actually a little bit worried about it from their perspective. I'm a little worried about it.
Mm.
So you have Harrison Barnes, who I believe is on expiring. No, his next year, I think, is expiring. I'll have to check that. His contract is on the books, at least for right now. Like, he's going to take up possessions. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
on the same team. And his contract probably isn't going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Barnes does have a player option for this summer that he will almost definitely exercise for $25 million for next year. So Barnes is going to be on the books for next year as well. THJ is on for at least the next – for this,
this
year.
This is a multi-year plan easily. I mean, right? Unless they have some magic to work. It's a multi – they're looking way down the road.
For this in 2 years after.
Yeah.
And so the idea is, all right, well, it doesn't matter because you have Luka and you have – Kristaps, and that's a good enough core. And like, I like some of their young guys. Like, I like Dorie Finney-Smith. I like Maxi Kleber a lot. I think he's really good. They have guys.
Yeah.
I actually think Courtney Lee fits really well. I think that he's actually one of the sneaky gets here.
Yeah, he's a good player. In. Sneaky role player. Yeah.
He's like Wes Matthews if he hadn't suffered the ACL injury, mm-hmm. like that's or the Achilles. Like that to me is a pretty good get. However, if down the line, how are you going to build around these guys? What are you going to do to build around these dudes? Because in part, what's the easiest way to add role players?
Through the draft. Yeah, they got rid of all of – they emptied the chest.
Yeah. They owe their 2019 top five protected to Atlanta. If that conveys, they will probably owe their 2021 unprotected to New York. And they'll owe another pick. We have to see the protections on these picks, but regardless.
No, it was 1 through 10. We saw it unprotected. The first one was unprotected. The second one was 1 through 10.
Yeah. So – that's a lot to give up.
It's a lot.
It's not just that you can't draft and fill in with these young guys to fill in role player spots. It's if you're at the – like say that the Mavericks in – say the Mavericks in next year even are at the deadline – like they're borderlines. Like they could make the playoffs but maybe not. They're trying to keep Kristaps in free agency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like they're trying to do all this stuff, okay? What's the easiest way to add – a good value pickup at the deadline, you trade your first round pick. We don't need a rookie. We need a solid veteran starter. Well, you can't do that now.
Yeah.
You can't trade it because now you get Steppy and rule that's preventing it. Your picks are gone.
Yeah, picks are gone.
Yeah, you can't do anything. So you can't make those moves to acquire them. So I'm not saying that look, if Kristaps comes back and hits the ceiling of what he's capable of, then yes, like Doncic, Kristaps in a pick and pop is a nightmare. That's a nightmare.
You can build around it. Then everybody else becomes a role player. You can maybe make it work. Although I'm just saying, that's a really good team. And Luka's phenomenal. He's only 19. It's we forget. I think it's hard sometimes to realize how good he is given the age he is because we just like progress him in our minds like 2 or 3 years ahead. No, he's 19. This guy's gonna be ridiculous. But I still just look at that and think, I don't know, man. You're going to have a lot of money tied up to those two guys, and that's pretty good, but there's better big twos out there.
Yeah, and I'm not as high on Kristaps because I just think he's an incredible interior defender and not a great perimeter one.
Yeah.
I don't think you can switch. I think that putting – like, let's say that you're trying to guard Portland in a playoff series, okay, and you're facing Nurkic and Dame, and Nurkic is going to kill Luka coming off that pick. Like, Luka's just going to die. Like, he's just blah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now you got Kristaps trying to contain Dame coming off that pick. That's tough. That's off of an ACL injury. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's awful tough. Like,
he's so long, though.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, you know, and his upside, like, he shot 39% last year from three, which was higher than I thought it was. Like, he was like 23-8 and 2.4 blocks a game, which is ridiculous. Right. So he still has all of this inside out potential. And he does pair really well with Luka. Like, if you're looking for a guy to pair with Luka, like, the only guy that would be better is, like, Peak Dirk,
I think,
right?
2 years ago, the pick and pop or pick and roll numbers or pick and pop or whatever with him were through the roof, and they ran it almost never in New York. Yeah. So, yeah, there is some upside that's untapped with him.
Yeah. So I think like they're going to be a good team, but I just don't know. Like, I don't look at this and go like, oh man, this is going to be a dynamo. I think Luke is amazing. Everybody thinks Luke is amazing. It's just like, all right, well, what's next? You know? And, it is going to be quite, it'll just be, I will say this also, like, we're in the afterglow, the honeymoon phase of Luca, and there's always what comes after. Damian Lillard had it, which is like, can you believe how good this guy is? Oh my God, he won them a playoff series. Like, this is so amazing. And the next year it was, you know, Dame doesn't really play defense.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. They'll figure out the weakness. But
now it's just like, and now with Dame, it's like, yeah, Dame's really good. You know?
The league has a lot of really good guys, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Which I've commented on this the other day, which is like surprising because it's like Dame's won a lot. Like, however you want to slice it, Dame has won a lot in this league, which is something that Anthony Davis has not.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Anthony Davis, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about that fiasco, and we'll probably vent a little. We'll probably try to look into the future a little bit with what's going on there and just talk about some of the larger implications it has for the league. And then, of course, we'll close with some Denver Nuggets talk because all of this stuff is setting the table for us to talk about the Denver Nuggets. We'll be right back. All right, I'm here with Matt Moore, the Action Network. First of all, do you get the sense, Matt? We're talking about the Kristaps Porzingis trade that just happened that came out of nowhere that I did not see coming. Do you get the sense now that there's going to be a lot happening in the next 7 days? Or do you feel like it's this and Anthony Davis news rumors, will he, won't he, and that's about it?
I will say that there's a lot of there is a lot of talk from the folks I have been in contact with about, like, don't be surprised if.
Oh, man.
That's been.
Do you have names?
I do not have names.
Teams?
I am not at a point where I can divulge that. If okay. I could, I would be writing about it, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
The sense, though, a lot of what I get is, like, it's cryptic stuff from scouts, and I'm always like, are you screwing with me? Or execs, it's like, are you, okay, so you just mess with me? Like, no, seriously. Like, I've just heard stuff because nobody wants to be the one that puts in the major out there. I think like information is also its value. And like, I'm not prideful enough to be like, I'm like a big deal. Like, I don't think I am a big enough deal to generate that kind of interest. Like I know the league a lot, which is why I get a lot of stuff that goes through me. But, you know, the big stuff, that stuff that gets parsed out specifically to foster relationships, which is what you're saying now with the Anthony Davis situation. What I would say, though, is. I think a lot of guys, I think we're going to have a steady amount of moves because there's enough teams that are just in a situation where it's like, we have to do deals. Like, Memphis is definitely trading Mike Conley and Marc Gasol.
Definitely.
Yeah, they are definitely. That is happening. Okay. There is no scenario in which there's no scenario I can see based off of what I've heard that those two guys are not getting dealt.
Okay. Do you have a favorite? Because you're a Memphis guy. You like to see those guys do well.
That's not even from folks in Memphis. That's like everybody else around the league.
Right.
Those guys are gone.
But I just want to ask you if there's a place you would like to see Gasol and Conley land just for pure entertainment, a place you think is the best for them to go.
The sense I get is there's a good chance that Mike ends up in Utah, and I'm not crazy about that. You know my feelings on Utah.
Say is a Gobert Conley defensively, the pick and roll defense between those two, I think is like, oh man, yeah, that's
yeah, and it's a good cultural fit. Yeah. I just think that they're capped in certain ways because of their personnel.
Probably.
Even though I think Quinn would love Mike Conley.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, I think, is a tougher one. That's going to be one where that could be like, there could be three-way deals. There could be multi-team. Like, it could be part of a larger package for another star. Like, there's just a bunch of scenarios where that plays out. I think Ken Bazemore gets moved at some point. Like, Travis Schlenk just isn't attached to holding on to guys. So
Torian Prince, like, too, you think?
Like, I don't know about Prince. I think Bazemore is the one where it's like Schlenk will get to the end of it and be like, all right, what's the best offer? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I think that Portland will do something because there is like a little bit of pressure there, but there's also the problem with Portland is there's a little bit, after the death of ownership, there's a little bit of uncertainty there.
Yeah, I could see
so,
that.
Okay. Like, that's one where we don't really know what's going to happen. And
they
then,
are a likely candidate, though, because just like you said with Utah, I feel like Portland is a very good team that is kind of who they are. And I don't. So you got to, at some point, you got to make a decision to go a little bit higher.
And then the other problem, the other thing I think that's lingering is Davis may wind up holding up things. That may wind up putting a freeze on a lot of stuff.
Well, that brings us to the Feast de Resistance. What do you think is going on here? So when the immediate reports came out, and just from some conversations I had had with different people, I thought, okay, this AD thing maybe is not as cut and dry. Clearly, Clutch is trying to get him to LA, and this is where all the rumors, but you know, something crazy is going to happen. The more time goes on, the more I feel like, no, this is just, we're just waiting for the inevitable, whether it's now or July. Where do you fall on that spectrum with him in terms of it being a done deal that he's in LA soon?
Oh, I don't think that's it at all.
Oh, nice. Give me hope.
So the sense I get is, and this has been echoed today in reports that you will find, there's a real frustration. Like there's bad blood here. And there's always this idea that like, well, you just need to be professional and do, you know, and do what's right for the franchise. You just need to do what's right. But part of it is the Lakers are trying to, not even Lakers, Rich Paul is trying to pressure them into doing a deal that does not get them what the best deal is.
Right. Clearly.
And that's difficult. So I'm always hesitant on this because like, I've never been a Lonzo Ball guy. You know this, you and I argued about it when he was at UCLA.
Sure.
I was okay on Ingram. I was like, yeah, he's good. I wasn't like, I expected more from him. And since then I've just really been like, boy, I don't know. Like
These guys are exciting. How many times have we seen a team trade multiple spare parts? And like Denver, it worked out better than any other team, but that team still had a very low ceiling. And all these things about, oh no, Ingram's good, man. Lonzo, these guys, some of those guys I really love. They're going to put you in the worst position in the NBA, which is like at best an 8 seed and just somewhere right in the middle where you're never that great, never that bad.
Yeah, and I think like part of it too is like, I don't know. I want to call an Ingram Skinny Wiggins a lot. That's just like how I feel about him is I was talking to when I was talking to Paul George, he was telling me, he was like, you know, in Indiana, my first year, they just wanted me to be a spot up guy.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing was like, you have to be able to do something consistently before we give you more control of the offense. Like you have to earn that. You have to show that you can do it. If you can do what we need you to do, then we'll let you do what you think you can do. And that worked for him.
I'm so in on this theory. I mean, there's a handful of players that can handle everything right off the start. But I think for most players, that's what it is. You learn to do the one or two things and then you add a piece here and there.
And it worked with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And it worked with Gary Harris.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary may not be on the level of those guys yet, but he's still really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, versus Wiggins, it's just like, or with Ingram, it's just like, whatever you do, like you could just go like, oh, it's, I'm a high usage ball handler. No, I'm a playmaker. No, I'm a catch and shoot guy. Like there's nothing he's consistently good at.
Who has a higher RPM, Brandon Ingram or Rodney Magruder? You can guess by just the implication of the question. I mean, Brandon Ingram, he's okay, man. I don't even know if he's okay. I'm giving him okay status, like begrudgingly.
He's okay. He's okay. And like Kuzma, I think is okay. I think Kuzma's having like a nice stretch defensively. It's just like none of these guys. Like I got a ton of heat today because I was like, I think Josh Hart's the best of all of them, and everybody's like, you're crazy. And I was like, look, Josh Hart, I know what I'm getting. He's going to be a 3-and-D guy.
Yep. Well, and he's the example
be
of what
a high
you're...
IQ defensive player that stretches the floor.
Yeah. He's the example you're talking about. Like he only does a handful of things, but he does them well, and he doesn't, you know, do the bad stuff. He's good. Like he can, you can rely on him. Here's the other problem. Brandon Ingram's a number two pick. Lonzo Ball's a number two pick. Those guys, you paid number two picks. Even you pay them just a little bit more than you're supposed to because they're number two picks and they have a quote unquote high upside. And to me, do you want two players that don't deserve that money, but that's what they're going to demand just on reputation? To me, that's such a terrible thing, but I still feel like it's going to happen. I still feel like these teams are in some ways powerless to the powers that be.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say, cause I've been saying that consistently is like, what I'm trying to get at is I can point to you all the reasons why this trade should not happen. But if you ask me, will it happen? I'm like, it very well could, because this is historically what happens is the Lakers get what they want.
Right.
That's why when Lakers fans are crying conspiracy or the league hates us or any of them, I'm like, you have gotten what you have outside of the Chris Paul trade.
Yeah.
You have gotten what you wanted almost every single time. You traded for Pau Gasol. using absolute garbage.
Yeah.
And his brother, who everyone thought was like a cast off, like, oh, he traded for his brother.
Right, right.
Like the fact that Marc Gasol became something is like the only reason Memphis didn't fall into the ocean in terms of basketball. Yeah. Like, you know, and so like that was a black swan event, Marc Gasol being good.
So what, and so, but let me ask you this, what can derail it then? So what's the hope here if you're an NBA fan that just despises the Lakers?
Well, I guess if we're looking at it from that perspective, it's just this, is that Loomis, who runs the Pelicans, answers to a football family that's not going to be bullied. Like,
okay,
they're just not going to be they're not going to be bullied. I don't know if they are. This the question is, like, will Gail Benson be so pissed off by how Rich Paul has basically assaulted and humiliated their franchise that she'll care enough to hold on? Because if this lasts for 7 days, if it's 7 days from now, and if Davis isn't traded in the next 7 days, the Lakers lose an incredible amount of leverage. And people will say, like, there's this argument going that, like, well, you know, all these things could happen. What if the Knicks don't get the number one pick? What if those Boston picks don't work out? What if the Celtics have a really great run? They decide to keep their guys. Like, okay, you have to have all those things happen, and nobody else has to step to the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the other thing, is in the next seven – I will tell you this. Look, the next 7 days, every team in the league – that has serious aspirations of winning a title, and there are a few, are going to make huge offers.
So, like, you think it's coming?
No, I don't know. I'll tell you, it just entirely, like, here's the thing. Like, this is not based off of conversations. I have not spoken with anybody in the Rockets front office. This is just me. Okay. But if you're the Rockets and you offered four first round picks for Jimmy Butler, why would you not offer four first round picks and Clint Capella for Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Anthony Davis does what Clint Capella does, just way better.
Yeah.
And if you get
four first round picks and Clint Capella and whoever else you want, right? Like, Gary Clark, nice player on a two-way. You could get the rights to, you know, even like Eric Gordon or something.
Mike D'Antoni would do something fun with Anthony Davis. I mean, that, I think that would be, for pure basketball fans, that would be very intriguing.
Yeah. Or, if you're looking at, you know, a team, like, there's just all these teams, like, we never expected OKC to come out of nowhere and get that Paul George deal. And I'm not saying OKC would go get Anthony Davis, because I don't think they have the pieces at this point.
But that's what we're banking on, a wild card.
Yeah, a wild card. So you have the wild card teams.
Yeah.
You have the Knicks, if they win the number one, well, they're probably dead because they don't have the contracts at this point. You have the Celtics, and you have, like, a whole host of teams that if they landed the number one pick, would be in play too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Detroit lands Zion, right? Yeah. And they're that would be really tough for them. That would be a tough decision, right?
Mm.
If they're like, wait, we could trade Drummond and Zion, like, that's a lot to give up. But if you're like, we could get Anthony Davis, and if we can win with Anthony Davis and Blake, we could really be relevant.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that pairing.
I'm not excited about it. I'm simply saying, like, there's all these teams that if you get the number one pick, you would be in play if you wanted to accelerate your timeline.
Well, we need somebody to step to the plate, because for me, like, I didn't even think about that. I'm thinking about it more now than I did a year ago. But the Spurs basically telling the Lakers, forget it, we're not dealing with you. What a heroic thing. Just for the sake of this league, the like, future of this league, that somebody would just be willing to say, no, we'll take a slightly worse offer just because we don't stand for this terrible organization poaching everyone. This is my only holdout, is that New Orleans would just do something, you know, principled like that, that says, we're just, you know what? And also, by the way, I think it might be better for them.
But here's the thing. I'll argue with you here. You have to look out for the fans first. Like New Orleans can't look out for you, Nuggets fan. They can't do that.
Right, of course.
You know? And this is – I said this today, and I mean it. Like, as much as I'm criticized as being a Laker hater, if the Lakers had drafted Jason Tatum, I would be asking the Pelicans why they were taking their damn time.
Right.
I'd be like, send Tatum, Ingram –
That's my whole point. I don't mind the Lakers earning and this or that, but it seems weird that that one team, one player, one agent can handicap the whole league, that no matter what the rest of the league does, it doesn't matter. They can just stack the deck. And so that's why I'm saying they don't have a package that makes any sense, in my opinion. From my view, they could trade every single one of their assets. I still think it would be a horrible deal. So for me, I just hope they have this. They dig their heels in and say, we'll do something else.
So I think I would say the big thing here is there's this underlying tension, because a lot of there are multiple people that have told me they're uncomfortable with how Rich Paul has handled this. And so the question then becomes, do you want to make a statement against what Rich Paul has done, or do you want to not tick off one of the most powerful agents in the NBA?
Yeah.
And that's a hard question.
It's easy.
Rich Paul not only, like, here's the bigger problem is, like, it's not just dealing with Rich Paul and the clients he represents. It's that Rich Paul is LeBron. So then LeBron will tell all these other free agents what you did, and then, like, will point, like, this is why I'm really uncomfortable with it. It's like, oh, this is tied to LeBron. Like, it's all very, and, like, I've been a LeBron guy for years and years, yeah. But there's a lot of really uncomfortable stuff here,
yeah.
Where I just keep coming back to, like, my thing has just been this. LeBron, if you wanted to play with Anthony Davis so much, and I appreciate that you did, you should have signed with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right, yeah. He wanted the cake and to eat it too. And here's the thing. You got to fight the bully, or else the bully just gets more and more powerful. And that's right. And that's where I think you're right. Rich Paul could, you know, blacklist the Pelicans and no free agents. First of all, nobody's going there anyway, so was that really a loss? And then second of all, you know, maybe what happens is that this is a big reshuffling of power. And look, I'm not one of these people that thinks owners should have all the power of the league or this or that. I just think it needs to be more balanced. You need it's like the federal government. It's good when there's these checks and balances in place. And to me, them not getting what they want in this instance, to me, when I just don't think they have the pieces to make it happen, that would be a great re-leveling of the balance of power in a way that I think would be good.
I've said this consistently, is like, I'm not in favor of the owners having too much power. That's why I railed against them in the 2011 lockout.
Yeah, we saw what that looked like.
I'm not in favor of GMs and coaches having too much power. I don't like the NFL, how they can just cut people if they're injured. That's crap.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I don't like the players having too much power. And what you have now is, like, the players aren't trying to, like, Rich Paul on behalf of LeBron, on behalf of the players, isn't trying to level the field. He's trying to flip it upside down to where the players have all the power.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
And that to me is like, well, no, like, people are going to, because part of me is like, people get screwed by this that are ordinary and don't have anything to do with this, man. Like, it's like, oh, Davis just wants to go. Like, what's wrong with him just wanting to go where he wants to go? And it's like, look, that's fine. But you also need to recognize, like, people in New Orleans are going to lose jobs over this. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's not his responsibility.
Right, right.
But don't act like this is like a harmless situation, that there's no collateral damage, because there is. Like, he gets to make that decision. That's fine. But part of my thing is, like, if he was leaving up at the end of his contract, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But we're 18 months out and this is happening.
Yeah, that's a long way out.
18 months at the end of his contract.
Well, before we take another break, just a quick answer if you can. Do you think Denver should try to involve themselves in trade talks for Anthony Davis in any way?
A quick answer on that? Come on, Mario. No. My short answer is no. I've talked this out with Nick Cosmire the other day, and the biggest reason is if you trade two starters and you miss on re-signing him, you now have a two and a half year window to get back on track before Nikola Jokic is in the exact same position Anthony Davis is in.
Yeah, it's a Hail Mary, a higher upside, but a floor that is pretty bleak. All right, let's take a quick break. When we wrap up here in the final segment, we're going to talk a lot about the Denver Nuggets, the implications, and then just kind of, we haven't checked in with Matt for a couple weeks now. Let's see what he thinks of the Nuggets. We'll be right back. All right, I'm here with Matt Moore, the Action Network. Matt, we're a couple weeks out now of the All-Star break. I think just 2 weeks, actually. It's just announced that Jokic will be participating in the game. First of all, how big is that for how big is it for Jokic to be named an All-Star, and how big is it for the Nuggets to have a player that is an All-Star?
About damn time. That's probably the best way to put it. I mean, you know, he had to be selected. He's been so good. It's validation, I think, for what he's accomplished. It's validation. The biggest thing to me is, like, it's a validation for the team.
Yep.
I think you'll probably talk a lot about that, but, like, there have been players that were playing at all-star levels and had no chance because the Nuggets were not good enough. Like, Ty Lawson was putting up crazy numbers before his season went haywire. With the DUIs, he was putting up crazy numbers. I was doing a whole feature on, like, why Ty Lawson should be an all-star, and then he got popped for his other DUI. And then, like, Jokic even last year was, like, so good, and we all knew he was so good, and yet you know, like you had to get the wins. And so for them to have that kind of success, I think is really a credit to the organization and what they've done. And, you know, Jokic, for, I guess here's the thing. Every night I watch on Twitter as all of these accounts tweet everything that certain teams do. Oh, Kyle Kuzma out here. Fire, 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 yeah, fire. Look at this performance by Lonzo Suns. In a, you know, like, and then, and Jokic just doesn't get that same kind of treatment. But he's so good. It was undeniable. Like, no matter how much people are not, like, don't want to really buy into the Nuggets, they had to credit what Jokic has done. Right. And that, to me, is like, when you are undeniably great, like, and think about this. Like, this is what's funny with Porzingis, is like, Porzingis got traded today for DSJ and two expirings and some picks.
You know? Yeah. First of all, how funny is it, DSJ and Moutier? I've always said that those two players are very similar. Kind of.
Carl Anthony Towns got selected today for the All-Star team, but like, Towns is largely just like, yeah, he's a nice player out in Minnesota. That's it.
Yeah, it is, like, wild. You're right.
Everyone talked about all of these unicorns, and like, Jokic, the big fat hippogriff, is just the best player out of all of them. And he's, the fact that he's at this level, I think, is a validation for how good he is, how good the team is. And that stuff matters for a lot of reasons for the organization. It matters for Jokic. It's just, it's an important step.
I'm looking at the NBA's official Twitter handle. They tweeted out and they put everybody's Twitter handle that made it. And the only guy without a Twitter handle is Jokic. It just has his name. There's no Twitter handle to at. It's just nothing is. When you see them all together, nothing makes that better. How many? I know this is looking way too far in the future, but how many All-Star games do you think Jokic will make? Just an estimate. I mean, one, two, or three, or do you think it'll be like 7, 8, 9, something like that?
7.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a 7-time All-Star. I think he'll probably have a year where he's injured. I think he'll probably have a year where he slips and isn't playing as well for whatever reason. But I expect 7. If he gets to 10, it's like, well, he's a Hall of Famer. So, like, that's, you know, that's the ceiling. And a lot of it's going to depend on what happens with the Nuggets, right? Like, the Nuggets got to keep being good.
Yeah. So. Do you think Denver has another All-Star on the roster at some point in the next, we'll say, 2 seasons?
Woof. Well, when they get Kevin Durant, obviously.
No, he's in New York. They just cleared the cap space.
Right, I forgot. Sorry. I'll say no. I'll be skeptical. I want Gary Harris to get to that level. I just think Gary Harris is always going to be Mike Conley. I just think he's going to be that guy that, like, gosh, he's so good. Look how good he's been. Look how awesome. Wow, he's really underrated. Nobody talks about him enough, and he just never makes it. Just never makes it. Especially because, like, you know, part of it is you have to make room for – so, like, Curry and Clay and Russ and Dame. And, like, it's just – it's really hard for guards to get in, and especially because, like, there's a good chance that, like, Chris Middleton goes west at some point. There's a good chance that – I know that, you know, like, Luka, if Luka wants to be classified as a guard at some point, like, there's just all of these things. I just think it's going to be very difficult for – I mean, Booker. Like, Booker's probably going to make one at some point, right? So it just, like, it's just always going to be hard for guys that aren't high-usage, dominant players. Like, I don't know that Jamal's ever going to be better than Nikola, and if Jamal's not better than Nikola, I don't know how Jamal gets in.
Yeah, there's just so many players out west, so many guards. I'm with you. I would say no, because it was funny. It was really interesting to me how many people were talking about Jamal Murray as a fringe All-Star this year, because in my mind, he was not even close. But people were talking about him that way, including Zach Lowe on his pod was talking about, it's close, he's on the bubble. And I thought, huh. We haven't talked about the Nuggets just in general now. They're starting to get healthy, I think, although maybe not. Gary Harris looks like he needs 2 weeks off, and this mysterious ankle injury with Jamal Murray is now he's going to be out for Friday's game. But has your opinion about them changed at all, or just how do you see their season finishing up from here?
I'm really worried that they're hoaxing it. I'm just really worried they're 2015 hoaxing it. I've told you this, and I get that in our conversations with our little media contingent, there's been like a, that's still a really good season. I'm like, you want to finish on a high note. That's the thing, is like, it's really important to finish. It's not okay to peak in December. You don't want to peak in December.
Oh, I don't think this team peaked in December. I just think that they're better than what we thought as a regular season team. So... I mean, look, those playoff lessons have to be learned. They just have to be learned at some point or other. And unfortunately,
but it just depends on how it goes. Look, if they get the two, let's say they get the two, and they
by
get
the way, the odds overwhelming that they get the two.
Yeah. Let's say they get the two, and they get the Clippers in round one, and they just pound them.
Yeah.
Like, just like, holy man, like, wow. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, can the Nuggets upset so-so? Oh, can they beat so-and-so in the second round? And then they get trounced in the second round by a more experienced, more physical, playoff-tested team. That's okay. You won a first-round series. That's great. But they got to get this defense fixed. I don't know how they're going to do it. They got it. Like, I know the offense is how you win games in the NBA now. You have to get this defense. You cannot be this bad.
Do you think you have to be
a little bit better.
Do you think that they were always this bad and just had a nice lucky month to start the season?
I don't. I saw the effort. I did the breakdowns. Yeah. I looked at the multiple rotations. Like, some of it, sure, they were going to regulate back. But I do think that, like, there's that they can get back to being better. Maybe they can't get back to being a top five defense. Maybe those days are probably gone.
Yeah.
But I think they can get back to not being bottom 10. That's what they need.
Well, maybe they're just like every other championship caliber team in that they play great defense the first month, they play it the last month, and then they play it in the playoffs.
Sure. They're just coasting like all those great Celtics teams. I understand. They've got nothing else to prove.
Nothing left to prove. Well, we'll find out. It's been a fun. Have you had fun with the Nuggets season?
It's been great, man. Just to see Pepsi Center excited. The vibe around the team, how much they like playing together. The fact that they can play not great and still win games,
yeah,
that's awesome. I just like that. It's fun being around a team with serious aspirations that can really win. I think it's been a lot of fun. I want it to end well. I don't want it to end with everybody being like, same old Nuggets. I don't want that. I want something different for this franchise.
First of all, if the Nuggets went to the Western Conference Finals, lost in triple overtime of Game 7, there's still some local media members that would say, same old Nuggets, can't win when it's on the big stage. So
Can we get back to the third offensive lineman on the practice team now, what really matters?
You know what's funny? When Mike Kliss put out that Scangarello thing, I'm not kidding you, I'm not exaggerating, that was the first time I'd ever heard that name. So I actually didn't even know what he was talking about when he came out. I knew it had to have been Bronco something or other, but that's how out of touch I am, I guess, with the popular narratives. Matt, thanks so much for coming on. We'll definitely have you on, I'm sure, here in a couple weeks to keep checking the temperature. Especially, we'll have you on in a couple weeks when the starting lineup's back and the Nuggets are on a 20-game winning streak. That's when I'll bring you back on.
You got to bring me back in when we're looking at who the Nuggets are going to play, and I'll break it down tiebreakers for you.
I can't wait. Do you know the magic number by chance off the top of your head? It's got to be tiny for playoffs. It's got to be like 10 or something at the moment. They're starting to get up there to where it's almost impossible not to make the playoffs.
It's not 10. I'll tell you that. Can't be 10, but it is. 1 second. 35. Before tiebreakers are calculated, which always ends up being a complicated affair. Let's see. 25. Their magic number is 23. So that's the combination of wins and opponent losses by teams in 8 and behind, or 9 and behind, for them to clinch a playoff spot. So if the Lakers over the last 30 games go 500, and they win, you know, they lose 15 times, that means Denver only has to win 8 times to clinch the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's almost locked up that they'll be in the playoffs, which is just...
Yeah, it's almost... I would class it near lock sounds like a very soft phrase, but it's something that I use as basically, you're not mathematical, but you're as close as you can be to it. They are a near lock for the playoffs.
When you think back 4 months ago, I was prepared to sweat out this entire season for whether or not they'll make the playoffs. So just the fact that they'll be... This is why we talk about moving the goalposts. And then you're not wrong. Perspectives do change. The goalposts do move. But when you step back and look at it, you say, man, their worst-case scenario right now is more or less on par with what we thought the median perspective was.
What's the number I've been telling you over and over and over again after all these games? They can go under 500 and still make the play and still win 50 games. They
50.
Can go under 500 and still win 50.
Yeah, that's nuts. Matt, thanks so much for coming on. To everybody else, I'll be back again next week. I'm going to miss recap games because I'll be out of town for Friday and Saturday's game. So unfortunately, nothing there. But we'll be back Sunday night/Monday morning with brand new episodes. We'll see you all then.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.